But I look out over audiences. I've been looking out at audiences of Christians for 40 years. That's a long time to be on this side of things looking out there. And I'm going to tell you, the view from here lets me know that we are all, everybody in this room, without exception, need promises kept in our lives. Everybody in this room needs promises kept. There was a book written some time ago, and it was written about the promises of the Messiah to come. The Old Testament promises concerning a child would come, and the government would be upon his shoulders. And all the Old Testament scriptures that promised, amen, that Messiah would come, and the kingdom of God would come, and things would change when he came. And he wrote a book that divided the Old Testament from the New Testament in the sense of the Messiah. And it said in the Old Testament, promises are made. In the New Testament, promises are kept. Promises are kept. And all of the promises in Jesus Christ are what? What are they supposed to be to us as far as we're concerned? Yea and amen. Yea and amen. Amen is a mouthful. When you say amen, it's not, you know, there used to be an amen corner in the church. We got an amen church in the corner. Hallelujah. Or all over the church. But that was those deacons that sat over there and the pastor said something. They just hollered, amen. They probably didn't know what he was saying, didn't care, but they hollered amen anyway. Amen is a word pregnant with all kinds of truth. Amen. Jesus said, I am the amen. I am the amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen means, be it unto me according to thy word. It's exactly the phrase that the Virgin Mary used when she was told as a teenage girl that you're going to bring forth the Holy Son of God. And how shall this be seen that I know not a man? And said, well, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. Praise God. They're trying to see, they want to get rid of all the supernatural. They're trying to say that she had a relationship and all of this nonsense. Amen. Behold, this shall be as a promise. Behold, this shall be a sign unto you, for a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Praise God. Hallelujah. How shall this be? That's a legitimate question. We all have questions. It's okay to question. It's not okay to limit God.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Because in her pure heart, she said, then be it unto me according to thy word. Yea and amen. You can't just do that with your mouth. At some point, it's got to be done in your heart. To where we don't argue with God anymore. We just say, be it unto me according to your word. And if it's going to be unto you according to his word, we need to know exactly what his word says about it. Amen? We need to be taught the word of God. We need to be challenged by the word of God. We need to be changed by the word of God. Amen? Everything that was written aforetime, the Bible said was written for our learning. That through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, that we might have hope. When I find a promise in the Word of God, he's not like us. You know, a guy can promise to be your house air conditioning, God can promise to be there in an hour. And 3 hours later, he calls you and says, you know, something's come up, and I can't be there. There's some plumber in Tampa that says, if we're not there in the hour, we'll pay you. I thought, boy, I don't know if he can keep that promise or not. I really don't trust the promises of people. There's all kinds of revolutions. There's all kinds of resolutions that were made at the beginning of the year. We promised ourselves that we would, we'd lay down the Twinkies and pick up the celery sticks. I don't think I could trade Twinkies for celery sticks. I got to have something a little more substantial. Maybe a baked chicken. How's that? Maybe the Twinkie for the baked chicken or broiled fish, but not celery sticks. Unless, of course, you fill it with cream cheese and stuff. Amen. Then I might put that on the side. I make promises to myself. I can't even keep to myself. I've made promises to God that I wanted to keep. I was sincere, but the Spirit is indeed willing. But where's the problem that we have? The flesh is weak. mine and yours. The Spirit's willing. I really want to do this, but the flesh is weak. But the promises of God are different. Once He goes on record, it sets a precedent. Once He goes on record, it becomes part and parcel of everything He's ever said. Amen. And the Bible said heaven will pass away and earth will pass away. But my word will abide forever. So just how authoritative is the Word of God in our life? That's what we're challenged with, Brother Taylor. I want to believe all of it. I want to believe everything that He said. If He's promised it, He's purposed it. I want to quit making excuses in my life. I don't want to make any excuses for God. I didn't come to debate this thing. I come to declare it to you. My wife told you about a healing. She was healed of all of the symptoms. We didn't even get to the hospital. God preceded us and healed her right in our bedroom of every symptom of spinal meningitis when it was going around years ago. And the fever broke while we were yet praying. The fever just broke off of her. Amen. And the more we go into this area, the more we see and hear of people living in defeat and despair. I look out over audiences and I see it written on faces of people that they believe the Bible's true, but they haven't got a hold of a promise and claimed it yet. If you ask them, is the Bible true? Man, they're ready to fight for the truth, but they haven't applied the truth in their personal life. There's a difference in declaring the Bible to be the unadulterated, inerrant, inspired Word of God and taking a hold of it and declaring it in your own life for your own personal circumstance. I believe it'll cheer you up. I believe it'll lift you up. I believe you can defeat the enemy of your soul. I believe that we can hear the joyful sound from your house and mine, not just this place. Hallelujah. I'm going to say something you may not like, but I don't care about that anymore. What I care about is seeing people set free and seeing God glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to praise Him more than pray. You can pray all night long and wait to see what happens before you get your praise on. If they'd done that at Jericho, they'd still be marching around that sucker if they could live this long. Amen? God told them to do something. He said, I want you to shout now before there's a crack in the wall, before there's any change in the circumstance. You know what He said? He said about faith, Brother Taylor. He said to Joshua, Joshua's looking at the city. Everybody say the circumstance. He's looking at a walled city that was so walled when the spies saw that city before they went over into the land. You know what they said about Jericho? They said, not only is there giants, fierce armies, but there are cities that are walled up to heaven. We cannot cross those walls. We can't beat them down with a battering ram. Archaeologists have found what they believe to be the remains of the ancient city of Jericho. They found that outline of from the foundation up, how wide the walls were, how thick, not only the tall, but the thick of it. Said you could run 6 chariots abreast. That is a wide wall. No wonder they sat behind that wall and chided God's people and said, everybody that's ever tried to come in here has had to go back home. They got hungry. They got tired. They gave out. They gave up. They went back to the house because they sure ain't coming in here. Can you say amen? And you know what? When they saw that same thing, when they saw that wall, amen, God told Joshua, He said, see. I have given you, have, past tense. Once He promises it, as far as He's concerned, it's done because He's not going to renege. He's not going to go back on what He promised. We're the ones that dropped the ball. Amen? How do you know we're dropping the ball? Because we're not rejoicing. We're in a circumstance that seems bigger than our God. Instead of claiming that promise, we're just letting it go and blaming the devil. You got to quit blaming the devil for your defeat. Will he be a factor in it? Absolutely. But there's a place in God where the devil cannot overcome you and cannot overcome me. Amen. There is a place in God. There is a victory. Amen. It's not based on what's happening to people around you. It's you and God. It's going to get down to you and God. After a while, we're going to have to put our money where our mouth is. We can't keep telling people how good He is, how great He is, how faithful He is, how wonderful He is, and live in defeat and despair. There's a contradiction. God can't be glorified because you're pious. God can't be glorified because you're holy. The world is not going to glorify Him because you live holy. You ever seen anybody happy to see you living holy? They generally get mad at me and accuse me of being self-righteous. When I worked for Tampa Electric, they would say, "You think you're better than us." I said, "No, I do not," because I wouldn't go drink with them after we got through with the day's work. They had invited me into that inner circle of camaraderie on that line crew because we always go and we have some brewskis as soon as we get done. I said, "I can't go. I'm a Christian." They said, "You can drink a Coke. You don't have to drink alcohol." I said, "I can't go in there. I'm a Christian. Someone see me go in there, then they might feel it's all right to go in there. And they might get drunk and hit somebody on the way. I can't do that." They said, "You're self-righteous. You think you're better than us." And I told them, I said, "I'm not better than anybody. But God has forgiven me and I'm a Christian." And they didn't like that. But when God began to move in answer to prayer in my life, it got their attention. It got their attention. It got their attention. I know they appreciated my stand for the Lord, but they didn't really appreciate my God until He started answering prayers and coming through in my life. Can you say amen? But when He did, they sat up. They took notice. I remember a truck turned over that I was in to keep from hitting an elderly man and woman. I was in a line truck that weighed thousands of pounds, and it was loaded down with wire and transformers, and they pulled right out in front of me, and I turned like that, and it flipped over. And when it flipped over, it was right in front of some gas pumps, and if it hit them, and right underneath me on this side, driver's side, there was a 40-gallon reserve tank of gasoline, because it not only was for the truck, there was also a tank behind my seat. There was a big tank behind my seat and a big belly tank, I called it, that held 40 gallons right where I stepped up on it. There was a step made into it so I could step up into the cab of that line truck. So I was loaded with gasoline in front of gas pumps, flipped over with a bang like that, and they were so afraid it was going to explode because all that steam coming out of the radiator coming up, nobody would come to help me. Everybody was standing back. There's a crowd of people saw it happen, pulled their cars over. They were standing back, amen, wondering, was I okay? Wondering if it was going to explode. And I was laying in there wondering if this is, you know, am I hurt? Am I going to be hurt? Am I going home today? Or, you know, but the only thing I could do when I cut that wheel to keep from hitting them was just say the name of Jesus. Jesus. I didn't have time to pray some long, beautiful oratory prayer. I just called on His name. Jesus. Hallelujah. There's something about that name. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. And whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Now, for me to preach this morning, I have to quit looking at people in the audience. So if I'm not looking at you, just don't worry. I'm not. There's nothing wrong. I remember an evangelist came to our church, and he preached like this the whole time. And I thought, oh, he sees what I see. You know what God told Jeremiah? I said, don't look at their faces. Don't look at their faces. I give you a word. Don't look at everybody's face to see if they like it or not. They're receiving it or not. Or I will confuse you. You'll be confused. I don't want to get confused today and try to straighten somebody out. I don't want to get off course. Everybody's not going into the promised land. That's the fact of the matter. Everybody's not going to live in victory. That's the truth, Ruth. Can you say amen? Everybody's not going to live in victory, and that's the truth. Everybody that talks it is not going to walk it, and that's the truth. But I want to be one of those people that follow on and live in this victory. Can you say amen? Everybody's not going to go with me, but I'm going this year. I made a fresh commitment. God said it. That settles it. I believe it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If one's going to be standing in Psalm 91, my wife shared a testimony about Psalm 91 to me on the way here today. An accident where a brother, not just a brother, but could be any, you know, family brother. See, he's a black man. No, he's just a brother. We got brothers too. But there's brothers and brothers, right? Brother from another mother. Hallelujah. But in the wreck that he had, his neck was broken, his head was turned around, his limbs were twisted. Three sisters saw it and ran to him. And the one was a nurse. She straightened out his arms and did something that probably you shouldn't. They tell you not to do, but he couldn't breathe, so she had to move his head to get it back to where the airway was opened up. And one of the sisters came while the others were doing everything medically and humanly possible, waiting on the 911 to come. One just laid hands on his head and started quoting Psalm 91. Everybody say Psalm 91. Because thou hast made the Lord thy habitation, under his wings thou art come to trust, thou shalt not be afraid. And it goes down the list. And God says, I am your shield. Amen. David said, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the what? What happens when he becomes that to you? The what? The what? The lifter. The lifter of my head. You don't need a facelift today. You need a faith lift. But the wonderful thing about a faith lift, and I'm not lisping today yet. I probably will before it's over. But the wonderful thing about a faith lift is if you get a faith lift, it's going to lift your face. You know why? Why art thou discouraged, O my soul? Why art thou cast down within me? Hope thou in God, for he shall yet, here's the facelift, he shall yet be the health of thy countenance. Can you say amen? Amen. When you get your faith lifted, it's going to lift your face as well. And the eyes of him that's joyful is going to rejoice the heart of others. Glory be to God. Amen. Got to the hospital, CPR, the guy's not breathing. After that prayer was prayed, a peace came. And in the hospital, he began to breathe. They x-rayed him, said his neck is broke. We don't know what's going to go from here. They're going to start trying to... But they prayed and they praised and they claimed the promise of God in the Scripture. Amen. They had a basis for their hope. It wasn't just blind faith. They were looking squarely at a promise of God in the Word of God. That's got to amount to something. If we're going to study, if we're going to declare him to be a God who cannot lie, and his word to be absolutely true. Then there's a point in time we have to claim the promise. And we have to stand on the promise. So he started breathing on his own. They x-rayed him again and could find no break in his neck. A broken neck became unbroken. X-ray showed it broken. The second set showed no break. The doctors scratched their heads. We got to get that X-ray machine fixed. They'll come up with something. It's very difficult for people using their cerebral vortex. It's very hard for them to accept the supernatural power of an almighty God. Hallelujah. It's hard for them to admit there's a God that hears prayer and answers prayer for people who prove Him. For people who prove Him. For people who prove Him. We got so many promises. I want to receive them, not selfishly, just so I can get answers when these things come. I want to bring honor. I'm serious about this, Brother Taylor. I want to bring honor to His name. Amen. I'm not fighting for my glory. I'm fighting to bring glory to my King. Yes. My victory gives honor to Him. My victory. I fight under His banner. Hallelujah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you read on down in that scripture, it says a Messiah is going to come. Jesus is God's standard that He's lifted up to defeat every device of the enemy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I glorify Him and glorify His name, and when victory comes in my life, we should put a sign over the door to the church, and I should put a sign over my door. No whining allowed. No whining? Can you imagine going a month with no whining? Not whining about nothing. I'm talking to me right now, the man in the mirror. No whining. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that is good for edifying. That builds up. See, the thing is, when I'm testifying to build somebody else up, guess what's happening? My own faith is getting lifted. Yeah. When I get a faith lift, I get a face lift. My emotions begin to concur. Yeah. No matter what I'm facing. You can't hide this after a while. You can't keep talking it and not walking it and make it believable to anybody. Yeah. I can't either. My wife used to tell me after I preached one of those hotly anointed sermons, honey, she would tell me on the way home, honey, I want this to work in our house. Sounds good in the church. It's great when you're preaching under the anointing from the pulpit. But when you get home, this ain't where we live, folks. This is where we worship. I want it to work where I live. I want my wife to see a different me and hear a different me. Hallelujah. I want my kids. I want some of my flaky kids. Amen. Not flaky because it's just they need to get thoroughly right. I want them to see the victory in me. I want them to see Dad rejoicing. I want them to hear Dad talking about faith and victory in Jesus. I wanted to work at the house. Amen. I'd like it to work in my life where everybody can see it. Not just crank it up. I've seen preachers before they preach change their voice an octave. First they're talking about God and His goodness. And then they walk behind the pulpit and they say, today we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God. And I thought, where'd you get that from? 5 minutes ago he was God, and now he's God. Come on. Turn that collar around and talk right. Can you say amen? Some people put on vestments and change their whole attitude. Well, honey, when you go home, you don't wear vestments. Amen. You're stumbling around for that midnight snack in your BBDs. Amen. That man needs some victory. The real guy needs some victory. Hallelujah. The guy your wife knows, the guy your kids know, the boss knows who you are. They need to see this thing in you and in me. I want it to happen, Brother Taylor. I want to claim more and complain less. I want to praise more. And here's what gets me in trouble. I want to be able to pray effectively so that I can praise more and pray less. Not that prayer isn't important, but when you have an all-night prayer meeting, you never praise God. Something is wrong with the prayer. Because when the prayer of faith is prayed, praise is integrated right into it. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a time to make a petition. And there's a time to accept that the answer is yours. And after we prayed, we're not to wring our hands and wonder, well, I hope God comes through. I don't know what we'll do if God doesn't do something. No, we pray and not wring our hands. We pray and raise our hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we'll learn to do that, you're going to have to conquer what I have to conquer, my flesh. My flesh would rather whine when I feel bad. My emotions kick in, and we all have them. I see these bumper stickers, honk if you love Jesus. I never honk. They may not remember they put that sign on the bumper. They may think I'm honking because they're not going fast enough. Give me the bad finger. You know which one it is. I don't have to show you. Amen? I don't know when they put that on. I don't know who that is riding in the front of that car. I don't know what they're going through at that moment. But I know one thing. I believe we need to pray effectively and praise God more for the answer. See, I've given you the city. He's looking at those impregnable walls that no army's ever taken. And he's telling him to see. He says, see, Joshua. I've given you the city. I've given you the army. I've given you everybody inside of it. The city is yours. They're yours. I have given it to you. See, we serve a God. The reason Abraham quit staggering and didn't stagger ultimately at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, doing what? Bringing what to God? Bringing what to God? Bringing what to God? Glory to God. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, and that's what we're praying God's going to do in us, bringing what to God? What happens when we believe Him so He can answer? We bring glory to Him. Again, I want to tell you, if you think that you can live holy enough to get the world to sit up and take notice that your God's the true and living God, that is not how He's going to get the glory in the sense of the world recognizing it. It's when He answers a prayer, when He delivers you. I don't want to hear another message. I will turn it off. I will walk away. I'd get up in a meeting and walk out. I'd do it reverently, but I would leave a meeting where someone is making excuses for God. Explaining away the miracles, the supernatural. Amen. Explaining away the promises of God. On, there's a movement today to explain away every promise that God has made. To do away with all the supernatural. And you know what? Our God is going to be categorized with every other religion's claim of their God. He will be no different. And it was about to happen on top of Mount Carmel. Because all of Baal's prophets said, our God is the true and living God. You got a God, we got one too. What? How do we distinguish? How did he distinguish himself? Amen. Let the God who answers by fire. Or let the God who answers prayer because the man prayed before the answer came. Let Him be declared the true and the living God. the God that does something. Let the God that shows up. Let the God that shows out. Let the God that answers prayer. Let Him be declared the true and the living God. We become so dead in our faith that we think God is dead in His power and presence. And we live beneath the promises. Therefore, we can't fulfill the purposes. And that's why Joshua came to three tribes that hadn't crossed over Jordan. And he said, how long will you be slack? It's not God's unfaithfulness keeping you out. It's your faithlessness keeping you out. Psalm 78 is very revealing. It said that the reason that this generation couldn't go into the promised land initially, amen, said yea, how oft did they tempt him in the wilderness? Yea, they turned back. Psalm 78, 40, 41. Yea, they turned back. They turned back. They turned back. And limited. Something enemies couldn't do. Walled cities couldn't do. Giants couldn't do. Demons can't do. And devils can't do. And circumstances can't do. They did. They turned back and what? Limited the Holy One of Israel. Well, who can stop God? The people He's made promises to, when we don't claim them, we stop Him. The devil knows he can't stop Him, but he knows we can. He knows we can. So what does he do? He don't even try. Circumstantially, because he knows he can't win. God purposes he's going to bring it to pass in spite of the circumstances. If a neck is broken, it's going to get unbroken if somebody claims a promise. Amen. By faith. Amen. Thank you for the hearty amen and the few holy murmurs and the few people that said, I don't know about that stuff. Well, it's time you knew about that stuff. Because a day may come, it's your loved one that needs somebody that will claim the promise and stand on the Word of God. I mean, how far have we drifted? How far have we come? When my wife first got saved, she never saw God move like I saw Him move as a child. I was in Jack Coe's meeting. I saw God deliver. I saw demons cry, come out of people. I didn't just hear about it. I saw it. I was there. I was in Oral Roberts' tents when he was a tent preacher. That was all he was. He wasn't building the university. He wasn't a Methodist. He wasn't anything. He was just a man of God praying for people, preaching the gospel. I was in the tents. I saw the crutches threw away. I saw people running across the platform. They couldn't walk and they were not plants. Could follow up on them. Doctors attended the meetings and scratched their heads. It wasn't cooties either. It was just they couldn't handle. They just couldn't handle the supernatural. But I saw it, Brother Taylor. I was there. I experienced it at the Tampa Revival Center when God healed me of leukemia. Rolling in the sawdust, but getting up healed. See, we didn't just fall out. We got up with the victory. It wasn't just a swooning under the Spirit. We received something from God. There was substance to our faith. Hallelujah. How long will you be slack? He said, if you will get up and go over, God will give you everything He's given the other tribes. But you've got to get up and go over. Everywhere the sole of your feet, here's the promise. Everywhere the sole of your feet. Everywhere you claim by faith. Come on. Everywhere you claim, everywhere within. Now, you can't get just anything, but you can get everything that He promised. Because what He has purposed, He has went on record. He's on record. He's on record. Amen. If Bill Gates included you for some reason in his will, and he passed away before you, some out of the blue thing happened and Bill Gates passed away, and you got a letter from one of the most prestigious lawyers in America, law firms, that said you have been named as a beneficiary in a legal will of a very rich man. Would you show up for the reading of the will? You would? Whistling Dixie. Man, I'd whistle Dixie and America the Beautiful. Happy days are here again. Oh, if you wouldn't be happy for a blessing, then you listen, don't get so spiritual you miss blessings that God wants to give you. I'm not saying everybody in this room is going to be rich. I'm telling everybody in this room is rich because you have Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But here's what else I'm saying. If God wants to do anything else in your life besides save you when you croak, amen? How many know we're all going to croak one of these days? Little kids said, Grandpa, they're visiting Grandpa's farm. Little kids from the city. They're looking at the horses and ponies he has. Little boy and little girl walking with their grandpa. Little boy looks up and said, Grandpa, can you make a noise like a frog? And he said, well, yes, I guess I could. Why? He said, because Dad says when you croak, we can have a pony. That bad. That's so bad. Kids are pretty honest about that kind of thing. God has purposed something for you. It's okay, Velda. It's going to be all right. Just hang on. Hang in there. Strap in. Hallelujah. Amen. God has made promises to us. And it reveals His purposes for us. He's not vague, sitting up in His heaven. Nobody knows what He wants to do or what He will do. How can you have any faith when nobody knows anything about His will? This is the confidence we have in Him, 1 John declares. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the answer. Before we see it, or we know it. If He wills it, He's going to do it, praise God. Amen. Well, how in the world are we going to figure out His will when He said, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. Amen. How far? Somebody say, how far? Help me here. As far as the heavens are above the earth. Well, is His ways past finding out then? Are we to live in this vague fog? No. His promises reveal His purposes. Hath He not said it? And shall He not do it?
Amen.
Woo! Promises of God are not for selfish people that just want to get blessed. It's for seeking people that want to know what God wants for them. Good friends of yours and mine going to church on Sunday are going to die without any hope or without any help. There's no hope of a miracle, no hope of a healing, no hope of an intervention from God, because their preacher on Sunday morning is telling them whatever happens to you is God's will for you. They're not taught to resist the devil or receive from God. They're taught to just lay back and let it roll. The kingdom of God suffers violence. You want to know how that... I'm not talking about trying to get something away from God. But listen, there is an opposer to everything God promises and purposes in your life. The thief came to steal. He came to kill and he came to destroy. Christ said, I came to give you life and I came to give it to you more abundantly. And I'm not talking about the car you drive, the money in your bank. I'm talking about answers to prayer. I'm talking about a God that comes through, a God that hears, a God that helps, a God that heals. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. I'm preaching with passion because I want this year to be a year, Brother Taylor, that I claim more. Can you say, man, that I don't just agonize all day long about what's wrong, but I praise Him because He's a prayer answering God, because He's given me a promise in His Word, and because the promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe them. Can you say, man? How long will you be slack to go over and what? Possess the land. If the will and testament is going to be read and it is a legal document, amen, then I'm showing up. Yeah. Amen. Not because I'm carnal, but because I'm not stupid. Amen. Keep it simple. Hallelujah. You would be stupid not to show up. If God wants to bless you that way, let Him bless you that way. Amen. What a lackadaisical, lackadocious way to live our life with a God who has revealed His purposes. See, here's the deal. I hear this mostly at funerals. It's appropriate for a funeral, but I want to take it out of the funeral and put it in the context it was written. It's not about where we're going to live for eternity. It's about what we have right here and now. You're not going to need this when you get to heaven. You're not going to need no help when you get to heaven from God. But nothing going to hurt in His holy mountain. Amen. You're not going to need healing. You're not going to need deliverance. You can lay your armor down. Take up your robe and crown. Hallelujah. Not going to need none of this when you get there. But here's the news flash. We ain't there yet. It's going to be great in the sweet by and by. When we meet on that beauty, yes, it's a sweet by and by, but we're in the nasty here and now. How many know we're in the nasty, gritty here and now? We're in the thick of it. Amen. It's a battlefield, brother. My wife listened to somebody whining the other day. They wasn't whining to be, they just were expressing, but it always comes out in whining. Did you notice that? When we express what's really in our heart, a lot of times it comes out. There's doubt, there's unbelief, there's discouragement, there's despair. It comes out in whining. The Bible called that whining murmuring. Murmuring. Because ultimately, who are we whining about? And who are we whining to? The person listening? No, inadvertently, without realizing it, the devil's got us accusing God of unfaithfulness. Amen? God just isn't coming through for me. Well, is it His unfaithfulness or do we need to get our faith lifted? The promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. Whatever I ask in prayer, believing, I shall receive. I can't ask according to my will, but if I ask according, well, how am I going to find out His will? Amen. His promises reveal His purposes. I go to the Bible. I want to see what God purposes for me, what He promises me in His Word. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. Sometimes I don't feel that, but I've got a promise, and I know He's with me. Can you say, man, I don't have to feel it, don't have to see it. Praise God, I don't have to check my brain. I know and I know and I know and I know that David put it this way. He said, where can I go from Thy presence? He stood looking out over the Mediterranean Sea and he said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, where that horizon meets the sea, he said, You're there. He said, there's no place I can go where You're not. I'm never so deep You can't pull me out. I'm never so distant You can't bring me home. Yeah. Amen. If I make my bed in hell, in the grave, even there. Oh, hallelujah. Your hand shall hold me and lead me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, mahandarabasotanama ekalabahasitiandarabasatai. Great is Thy faithfulness. Therefore have we hope. Can you say amen? Good patty cake. Now give Him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, I repent of my whining. I have whined last year. That's what you say. Take me to the rock. When my son, take me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Hallelujah. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock. And you know what? When I first read that psalm, I thought it was some brother coming alongside. Don't hold your breath. Can you say amen? Some sister coming along. Don't hold your breath. David wasn't talking about, we need our brothers and sisters and their encouragement. But he said, you can't always count on somebody else. At some point, you got to count on God. And that psalm, on further resource, he's talking directly, distinctly to God. He said, Lord, you'll know it when it happens. I'll show it when it happens. Amen. When my heart, not if, but when my heart is overwhelmed within me, oh God, lead me to the rock that's higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a refuge from mine enemies. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And the Holy Spirit right now is trying to lead us to that rock. Yes. So my wife sang a song. And it wasn't just to, you poor thing. You know what she sang? An old camp meeting song we learned when we first got saved. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Amen. I came here to stand. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. So you're in the thick of it. Put on the whole armor of God. Yes, having done all, stand. Against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. Submit yourself to God. Not your emotions. Not the circumstances. Not your feelings. But to God. Hallelujah. Resist the devil. What's going to happen? He'll run from you. I found out that whining draws him. You know why it draws him? You don't have to draw a pentagram. You don't have to get involved in witchcraft. Just whine all day long and murmur against God. And he will show up to help you do it. He will reinforce it in your heart. It'll draw him. You know what they did in the wilderness? They got out there and they had 3 square meals a day in Egypt. They were enslaved. But they didn't worry about where the next meal was coming from. Because those slave drivers wanted them strong and healthy to get out there and work in that hot sun from daylight to dark. And they fed them well. They got out in the wilderness depending on God who was leading them to the promised land, and they started murmuring and complaining. Amen. Can God set a table in the wilderness? How's he going to take care of us out here in the middle of nowhere? I'd just like to know that. And you know what happened? Anybody know what happened to those people that God had his hand on and God had a hold of? They were walking in an area infested with serpents. Didn't even realize it because those serpents weren't allowed to touch them. Until they started complaining against God and questioning his faithfulness. What happened then? The fiery serpents come in and everybody in the whole, we're talking about over 2.5 million people were bit. And poison was in their bodies. And they were going to swell up and get fever, convulse, and die. Unless God in his mercy stepped in. Uh-huh. Amen?
Amen?
There's things we permit and we allow in our homes and in our hearts. Amen. That if we saw that it would give that kind of place to the enemy, we'd get a handle on that thing. We'd bridle this thing. We battle this thing. The tongue set on fire of hell. Who can tame it? You can't. You have to surrender to God to get that thing tamed. You have to agree with God no matter what you feel. Because you're going to talk defeat. You're going to contribute to the discouragement. You're going to say something that's going to be just... A guy came to our city to set up a tent for a tent meeting. He came there and said, God sent him. And I believe he did, because it's in the dead of... We were having one of our coldest winters when he came. And then tents were not drawing many people anyway anymore, because you got these comfortable big old churches with big choirs and music and all the stuff. And this is an old-fashioned tent meeting. But he sat up in Plant City, and a Christian guy met him the first day he was there with the wonderful words of encouragement. He met him, and he said, I'm going to tell you something now. It's been cold this winter. The weather report says all next week it's going to be freezing or below. All the farmers are going to be taking care of their crops. They're going to be putting water on their strawberries. Amen. They're not going to get out in this weather, these Floridians. They don't get out in the cold. They stay in. Nobody's going to come to your meeting. You should have come in the spring or the summer or the fall. You know what happened when the spies came back? Our brethren. Not the atheist, not the agnostics. Come on, it didn't come from without. It came from within. Our brethren hath discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater than we are. The walls are walled up to heaven. There's no way we can take this land. God has played a trick on us. I love what you said last week. Right in the middle of preaching and anointing, you said, and hope maketh not ashamed. They didn't say one word to give them hope so that they could reach out by faith and get substance of that that's hoped for. They discouraged them. And you know what kept them out of the promised land? Not the walled cities, because the next generation went and took those walls. God took the walls down. Fierce armies got discouraged, disheartened, and ran from them. Said, we've heard of thee and heard you were coming here, and we were afraid of your God. Because your God got you out of Egypt. What are we going to do? Your God destroyed Pharaoh's army to get you out of Egypt. What are we going to do? They were already terror-stricken that they were going to claim what was theirs. My God in heaven, the devil's afraid of you and me. Amen. He's afraid of us getting up and standing up and standing on the Word of God. Hallelujah. God gave them the land. God gave. But what kept them out initially for 40 years? Words. Words that brought discouragement. Words of unbelief. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? Yea, they turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. Words. 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 Not walled cities. Words. Lady says, I've been a gossip. I've talked about the preacher. I've run down the church. Tell me about it. Amen. Pastor, big church, huge altars. Pastor, I want to put my tongue on the altar. He looked and said, ma'am, I don't believe it's long enough. What would happen? What would happen? What would happen if we quit talking doubt, fear, defeat? What would happen if we quit talking about how bad it is out there and start talking about how good it is in the kingdom of God? What would happen if we quit letting the world pull us down so deep that we get a hopeless, helpless attitude? We're in the kingdom. For this time, God knew we would be here. We're here to bear witness to a gainsaying world. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and He will be forevermore. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Taylor, I feel God drawing me, pulling me. In fact, I feel like I've been sitting back on my knees and He's grabbed me by the lapels and yanked me up and said, get up! Woo! didn't come to coddle me. He came to challenge me. Get up! Rise up, O captive daughter of Zion. Cast off your chains and shake off the dust. Somebody don't want to hear the gospel? And go on to somebody that wants the help he offers. It's not being mean. That's not getting down and wallowing in the defeat and the despair. Wow. I got to quit taking it personal. It's another thing I'm praying about. He said, if you go in my name and I send you, he that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. And he that rejects you, don't take it so personal. They're rejecting me because I sent you. And they're rejecting my Father that sent me. Amen? Amen. You can't just have it any way you want it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to submit something to you. God sent me to preach the gospel. God sent me. God sent me. Praise God. I didn't get hired by somebody. Can you say amen? No vote was taken when he told me to come to Tampa. Nobody paid my salary that I had to hop to somebody's tomb. I didn't come here to work for you. I came here to serve you as a servant. But I work for one person. I wouldn't work for you. I love you. I won't work for you. Can you say amen? I work for him. Yes. Amen. You can't heal me. You can't help me when I'm in that deep valley. You can't pull me out. But he can. He has. And he will continue to do it. Woo! When you go into a house and they receive you, let your peace be on that house. But don't cast your pearl before swine. I do not chase people. You don't want the kingdom. You don't want Christ. You don't want his word. You want his worship. You don't want his worship. You want your sin more than you want his help. Then you need to continue in your sin. Amen. Until you get sick of that sin. Yeah. Enough that you'll change your mind about that sin. Amen. You need to come to want so you'll come to yourself. And head for the Father's house. It don't have to be this church, but you've got to get back to God at some point if you want him to help you and bless you and restore your soul. And the day you come back, he'll welcome you with open arms. But you've got to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. Romans 6:16 says, whoever you yield your members, servant to obey, his servant you are whom you obey. Whether God unto righteousness or sin unto death. Amen. But you're going to serve somebody. Amen. You are serving somebody. Somewhere, somebody is going to be healed. Somewhere, somebody's going to get saved. Amen. Somewhere, somebody's going to get set free. Somewhere, somebody is going to receive that he sent. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent. Watch your words. Our brethren, the people that ought to be standing together in unity, our brethren hath discouraged our hearts. Say words of defeat and discouragement, criticism, words, unreserved, unrestrained words that we think are just words. They're not just words. Life and death is in the power of your words. Can you say amen? Life and death by thy words. you shall be justified, and by thy words you shall be condemned. God is not going to leave us disappointed. If we get a hold of His Word, we begin to build each other up on our most holy faith. Amen. See, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's not just the Holy Ghost that does it in spite of you. It's the Holy Ghost that begins to work through you.
Amen.
So when you get filled with the Spirit, the first evidence that was given in Scripture is they spoke with a new tongue.
Amen.
Something controlled by the Holy Spirit and not just by themselves.
That's right. Amen.
They gave place to God. And God began to speak through them. Hallelujah. God got a hold of the tongue. He said, I got the tongue now. Now I can direct the life because I've got the tongue under control. And that means their spirit is yielded to me. Tongue is like a rudder, James said. You can take a big cruise ship, and in comparison between the ship size and the size of the rudder is a small thing in comparison. But the rudder determines which way it's going to go. Isn't that right?
Amen.
What if we all looked at our tongue that way? What if we begin to speak words of faith and encouragement? What if you learned how to get out of the doldrums and lift somebody up? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great to hear somebody say, God is on the throne. God is moving. God is touching. I love to hear that. I'm going to close with this. God's calling us. He's taking. You want to go on this journey with me? Brother Taylor said, God's called me to it. He called me to it. That's confirmation. He's calling us as leaders, Brother Taylor. Because where we are leading, we're hoping other people will come and follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen. Here's the deal as we close. Be ye followers. Of who? Of who? Yes, and be ye followers of God as dear children. Doesn't stop there. Goes on, be ye followers of them who through faith and patience inherit what? What God has promised. The promises. I'm not following a man just because he's a great theologian, but because he's got something to show for his knowledge of God and His Word. I want to follow somebody who gets his prayers answered. I want to follow somebody that tells you what God's doing in his life. Not 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but currently. Right now. Hallelujah. Follow who? Them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Inherit the promises. Preachers have a lot of funny tales as we close. And to me, this is funny. It wasn't funny to the guy it happened to. But it kind of illustrates. Sometimes you think you think you got it all figured out when really you don't. You really think you got it all figured out, but you really don't. Because if you had it all figured out, it has to start affecting your life, your attitudes, your testimony. Preacher went to visit a very aged woman who was bedfast, couldn't get out of the house to come to church anymore. But he went to check on her, pray with her. And he walked in. She was in the bed. Nurse came two or three times a week, and her daughter came every night. She was in the bed. She said, Pastor, when you come, it'll be unlocked. Just come on in. Come on in. I've just taken some medication. I won't be able to get up for a while, but come right on in. So he went on in. Sit down at a chair by the bed. There's a little table with a lamp on it and a bowl of peanuts. And he just got to talking with her, praying with her. They were sharing Scripture back and forth. And he was sitting there, and he was just grabbing him a handful of peanuts as he talked with her. Just eating them peanuts. Almost ate the whole bowl of peanuts by her bed. Got up and got ready to leave after he prayed for her and said, Ma'am, I owe you an apology. He said, I wasn't paying no attention to what I was doing. He said, while we were talking for this hour, he said, I ate almost that whole bowl of peanuts. And she said, oh, Pastor, you don't have to apologize for that. She said, ever since I lost my teeth, I just sucked the chocolate off of them anyway. Somebody say, ooh. See, you may think you know what you're doing, but maybe we need a little help sometime. Amen. We need discernment. Can't you just see him puckering all the way home? Gargling, amen. Spitting. What is it? All things are be received when sanctified by the word and prayer. If he knew what that was, he wouldn't have prayed over it. Yeah, he probably will. Nobody wants to top that one. You don't always know what you think you know just because you've been in church for a while. We're perishing for a lack of knowledge. We're going into captivity for a lack of knowledge. Amen? But I'll give you pastors after my own heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Praise God. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, nor the mighty man in his might. Amen? Nor the wise man in his wisdom, but he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith the Lord. Eye has not seen. Here's that last scripture. Ear has not heard. It's neither entered into the heart of man. We don't know. It hasn't come except this way. Listen, eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It's never. Now, get heaven out of your mind. Let's put it in context. Get heaven out of your mind. Listen, we haven't seen nor heard, and nobody could tell us what we're going to see that first day when we step in the land of glory. But this is not about heaven to come. This is about here and now, and what we don't know and what we need to know, and who wants to show it to us. Are you ready? Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It has never entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He has shown them, revealed them unto us by His Spirit.
Amen.
That's a here and now scripture about revelation by the Spirit from the Word of God. And when you get a revelation, it brings a realization. Can you say, man, this thing drops from here to here. Hallelujah. Flesh and blood did not what? Reveal this unto you, but my Father in heaven. And when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. Not cerebrally, intellectually, but experientially. And the truth will set you free. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. 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 If I can find my glasses, we will conclude. Father, you are so good today. You are so good today. You are so good today. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let's sing it. Yes. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Wow. That's okay. We didn't get together and conspire, did we? Here's my closing statement. The song, Standing on the Promises of God, was written in 1886. 1886. And it was written by Russell K. Carter. Everybody say Russell Carter.
Russell Carter.
In my reading this week, I learned that Carter was an interesting individual with a whole lot of different interests. He graduated from the Pennsylvania Military Academy, part of its first graduating class in 1867. Eventually returned to teach a number of subjects there for several years: chemistry, natural science, civil engineering, and mathematics. That's pretty cool. He must have served in the military at some point, because on campus he was referred to as Captain Carter. But military service and teaching weren't the only things he did. He was the author of several novels, as well as a number of textbooks used in his classes. And we can see he wrote hymns, even the song, "Standing on the Promises of God." In his journal, Carter shares an incident that occurred years before he became a Christian, a miracle that God used to inspire him to trust in and stand on His promises. And this is what he wrote in his journal: "In the summer of 1879, my heart, which had been chronically diseased for 7 years, resisting the remedies of physicians and refusing to grow better after 3 years of sheep ranching in California, suddenly broke down so seriously as to bring me to the verge of the grave. Kneeling in my mother's room in Baltimore one night, I made a consecration that covered everything. All doubtful things were set aside. I meant every word and have never had any doubts about it since. A quietness came over me, and I found the Bible wonderfully open and marvelously satisfied, as it had never been before. Feeling impressed with God's written promises, I prayed and was healed by God alone." Woo! Carter never had heart problems again. He retired as a teacher and was strong enough to go to medical school. After graduation, he hung up his shingle and practiced medicine as a physician in Baltimore till he died August 23rd, 1928 in Catonsville, Maryland. If we could somehow sit in a classroom under the instruction of this teacher, author, hymn writer, sheep rancher, physician, I think one thing that he would stress that is vitally important for us to know is that God's promises are yea and amen to them that believe. Hallelujah. Stand on the promises of God. Will you stand to your feet? This is going to be a year, my brother and my sister, when I want to claim my lost loved ones by the authority of God's word. I want to claim victory in this ministry, standing upon God's promise. If you're faithful over a few things, I'll promote you. I'll make you ruler over many. God is going to do something by His Spirit if we continue and remain faithful. I'm not asking for anyone else's agreement. I'd love to have it, but I can't always get it. So I'm not giving up on it. I'm just saying I'm going to come into agreement with God and His Word. Can you say amen? I don't know what you're going to do. I have to decide what I'm going to do. Amen. Brother Sean, I'm getting Joshua 24:15 so deep in my spirit. If it seemed good to you to serve other gods, to bow to other gods, to go after other gods, to live in defeat, to live in despair, to speak words of discouragement instead of words of faith and encouragement, if it seemed good to you, choose this day. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Get off the fence. Make a choice. This man didn't just claim promises. He consecrated his life. And then the promises became yea and amen. Hallelujah. 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 But it's for me and my house. I don't know who's going to come to church. I don't know if you're going to show up. Some folks are not. I know you're coming when I see you. I don't know how often I'm going to see you. But I can't let that hinder what God's calling me to accomplish for Him. Because I can't control what you're going to do. I can't make you love Him. I can't make you serve Him. Amen? I can't do that. You have to make up your mind and you have to get a hold of what's right in your heart. But I would love to have this whole church on the same page. For everybody in here needs promises kept in your life. I need them in my life. So I'm going to go on record. If you've got issues, you've got problems, you don't have any faith to blend with it, you just got criticism, keep it to yourself. Don't discourage a brother or a sister. Can you say amen? Amen. Keep it amen. To yourself. Pray about it. Because there's enough discouragement without discouraging one another. Hallelujah. Lord, help me not to whine, not to murmur, but to glorify your name. My wife and I prayed on the way to church this morning. Lord, whoever is here, I pray that they might be blessed. I pray that every need of their life might be met. To somebody lost, Brother Taylor prays the same way, save them. Somebody cast down, oh Lord, lift them up. If they'll let you, lift them up. Can you say amen? Sholobokorondarabasataya. Kelabarita taramasitia. Mekolobo hosandaraba. Halabarendi dabasataya. Mike, I want to join you in the chosen fast. Because it said if we get into what God is going to honor and we submit our life for that purpose of God, they shall be of thee that build up the old waste places. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. That's exactly what God wants to do in our life. Praise God. I love you today. I'm so glad. I'm more comfortable preaching here than anywhere I've ever preached in my life. You know why? Because God sent me here with a message for this congregation and beyond, wherever else He will send it. And I pray you get a hold of it. Let's run this thing together. God's going to do something for your brother. We're not exactly sure what all He's doing, but God has heard our cry. God has seen our tears. He responds, amen, to our heart cry today. He got out of bed since last week. Amen. Well, God's not done. He's just showing us. He's showing us. This is my call. This is not happenstance and circumstance. This is up to God and God alone. Amen. Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. He walked in here in a week or two. Praise God, sharing a testimony. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. Amaze me, but not surprise me. Because my expectation of Him is great today. Hey, Sister Ben, why don't you come stand with me today? We're in this thing together. Hallelujah. And I appreciate what God's showing you in Psalm 91. Amen. While I'm preaching the promises, she's praying the promises. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And claiming the promises and reaching out to be an encouragement to those that will listen. We are so imperfect. God is not through with us yet. We have flaws, but we love God. And God loves us, amen, like He loves you. And our old Brother Taylor, God is at work. I'm amazed. My wife told me, she said, you know, we got something to do for God today. Amen. No matter who's there, who isn't there, we got something. We're not getting up this morning saying, oh Lord, what do you want me to do? We know exactly what we're supposed to do for God today. We were supposed to come here this Sunday, bring this message to you this Sunday, and try to be this example before you this Sunday. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hanba baba hoso selamara nandarabakitia lo darabaroshalamara nendarabasitia. Father, help me, Lord, to be a witness to this congregation, to all who will listen, that you are faithful and that you are good. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for those that are hurting today, those under pressure today, those under persecution today. Around the world, Lord, your people are suffering intense persecution. Help us to rise up and celebrate our freedom here in America. Help us to experience a Holy Ghost revival here in America. Help our families, Lord, to be delivered and set free from the oppression of the enemy and to know the glorious liberty of the sons of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, help healing to come back to your people. Deliverance to come back to your people. As you have purposed and as you have promised. In the name of Jesus Christ, let this be a year of fulfilled promises. Hallelujah.
Lord, stir our hearts. Lord, make us hungry. Hungry and thirsty like never before.
Thank you, Father.
That's when we seek you with all our heart.
Yes, Father.
Oh, Father, we know that you're great. We know that you do wonders. We know that your word is full of wonderful promises to us. But, Father, we, in order to receive these promises, we must be hungry for you more than we're hungry for anything else.
Yes, Father.
We must be willing to surrender our will and just get it out of our mind that you're not there to just answer our prayers.
That's right.
For our own comfort. Lord, you want to strengthen us. You want to make us warriors for you.
Hallelujah.
You want to prepare us for the day that we're facing, Lord, this day that we're living in and the days that are coming. Lord, you want to make us to where our light can shine, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Where no matter who falls to our left or to our right, Lord, you're going to take care of your children.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because we're standing for you. And we're submitting ourselves to you, our wills to you, Lord. Oh, God, we want to get in a position where you can help us, where you can answer our prayers, Lord.
Yes, Father.
You're not holding anything back, Lord. You are not holding anything back from your children.
Jesus.
You are a good, gracious, generous Father.
Woo!
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We want to be warriors for you in this last day. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we want to be examples. We want to stand fast, Lord. Oh, we want to lift you
There's
up.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Hula bakasanda da basitia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Just if you have to go, leave reverently. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Hallelujah. I cannot help anybody get free unless I am free first. I have to cast off the chains, Brother Sean. I have to do it. I can't just preach to the flock. I have to be an example. Play that. Play it. Play it. Play it. Play it.
There is power.
Jesus.
In
Jesus. Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, we praise you.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Every chain.
There is power.
The anointing
in the name of Jesus.
Breaks the yoke. Hallelujah.
There is power.
Hallelujah.
In the name
cast off
Jesus.
Thy chains, O captive,
there
daughter of Zion. Rise up from the dust.
Jesus.
If you're still changed by habits and you're trying to preach the gospel of deliverance to other people, God wants to set you free today. God wants to heal you. God wants to deliver you and break the chains that are holding you back. Telling other people what God can do for them, let Him do it for you first. Show them there's power in the name of Jesus. You that are bound by sexual sin and pornography, God can break that chain. You've got to say, I want it broke more than I want the self-indulgence and satisfaction it gives me. If it's alcohol, God can break that chain. Nicotine, God can break that chain. Spirit of the Lord is on him to set the captive free. Got to be power for you before you preach to others. Got to be something happening in you and me. You don't want to see me in the bar Saturday night and in the pulpit Sunday morning. Amen. See me in the X-rated video store Friday afternoon and in the pulpit now by sexual sin on Sunday morning, because I don't represent what God promised to do. We would surrender to him. Can you say that? You don't see me at the beach with some other woman and in the pulpit on Sunday morning trying to tell people about Jesus. He said, don't you think I'm going out to preach? Can you go and be endued with power from on high? Not power to preach, but power to be witnesses unto me. Power to live it. To live it. To live it. To live it. Witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. There are preachers bound today. Evangelists bound today. That need to be set free. That need to be set free. That need to be set free. This thing starts in the pulpit. I don't want no chains on me. Hallelujah. I said, I don't want no chains on me. I said, I don't want those chains on me. Come on. Come on. You want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Surrender to God. Amen. Quit playing church. Come on, we're coming Sunday after Sunday and leaving just as bound as you came in, as bound as you came in. Come and be set free. God's preparing this man for ministry. You know what he does first? Are you ready for this? Let it play and play it again. Then stop. You know what he does in a great house? There are many vessels. There are many vessels. There are many vessels. Some to honor, some to dishonor. Some of gold and silver, and some of clay and wood. Flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. That's called consecration and dedication. Flee youthful lust. See what God, who God calls. He cleanses. Didn't hear me. Whoever God calls, he doesn't start with anointing you to preach. He starts with calling you to be cleansed. Who God calls, he cleanses. And who God cleanses, he uses. In the great house there are many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. Flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. This is about spiritual maturation. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Those sins that so easily beset me, from running with patience the race that is set before me. Who God calls, he cleanses. And who he cleanses, he uses. Flee youthful lust. And thou shalt be a vessel of honor, sanctified, cleansed, and set apart unto God for a holy purpose, and meet for the master's use. We don't just get information. from a Bible college and then run and preach. We don't just get inspiration through the anointing and go to preach. We get sanctification. God cleanses us. And God sets us apart. And Brother Taylor, God's working in you, and you confessed it this morning. God's working in me, and I joined you in confession. God is cleansing my heart from those areas where I have complained when I had a promise to claim. I want to claim the promise and praise Him this coming year. You see, I'm being cleansed still. He's still working in me today. So when someone walks down here, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong. It means there's something right going on here today. Can you say that? Because this God we serve is breaking every chain. Who He calls, He cleanses. Who He cleanses, He uses. Hallelujah. 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 Flee youthful lust, and thou shalt be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. He puts His Spirit in us, and that's like putting His hand in a glove. Hallelujah. Soft and pliable. Hallelujah. To do what He wills and purposes in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Cleanse Him and set Him apart for your holy purpose in Jesus' name, and fill Him with the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Raise up Davids and Deborahs in this place. Davids and Deborahs. Davids and Deborahs. Halabakasada. Selamababa. Handadaba. Rashalaba. Kitia. Hoda. Hallelujah. 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 Davids and Deborahs. Davids and Deborahs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is how it feels to be free. This is how it feels. Hallelujah. To be free. Hallelujah. 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 You know the first thing that happened when Lazarus got life, and Jesus gives us that life, there's a second stage. He come out of that grave, dead in trespasses and sins, but quickened, alive unto God. But there were grave clothes wrapping Him up. You know what they told those people? What we're doing right now? Unwrap Him. He's got life. Now I want to give Him liberty. Unwrap all those grave clothes off of Him. Hallelujah. And let Him go free. Let Him go free. Let Him go free. In the name of Jesus. Clothed in a robe of righteousness. Ain't no chains on me. Hallelujah. Ain't no chains on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God is at work. Who He calls, He cleanses. Who He cleanses, He uses. Hallelujah. Whatever you choose, God is here. God is moving. Who God calls, He cleanses. Who He cleanses, He uses. That's why David knew, God's not done with me. I messed up, but God's not done with me. God has forgiven me. He's restored me. But now for Him to use me again. Create in me what I had before. Create in me clean heart. Wash me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Can you say amen? And renew a right spirit in me. Take not away from me thy Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And restore unto me the joy of your answered prayer, the joy of your deliverance, the joy of your help, the joy of your victory over my enemies. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Hallelujah. Then sinners will be, oh, when you got me right. Hallelujah. It's going to affect them. Not just what I say, but who I am. Hallelujah. Then sinners shall be converted unto thee. They're going to see the power of God in my life, the restoration of God in my life. And transgressors are going to learn your ways, Lord. They're going to say, that's the path I need to walk in. That's the path of help and hope. That's the path of victory. That's the path of God's favor and God's blessings. Can you say, amen? That's the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And we're on that path. We're on that path. We're on that holy path. It's called the King's Highway. Hallelujah. The lame man shall leap. There is the heart. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And the deaf shall hear. We come to consecrate ourselves before you. That when we open the Bible with an open heart, hallelujah, your promises become yay and amen. Hallelujah. Restore. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou restoreth my soul. This is not just about power. This is about healing the broken places in our lives. Listen to me. The shepherd's psalm is not about Pentecostal power. It's not that kind of oil. When the sheep were wounded with a head wound, the flies would come and lay eggs in the wound. Maggots would get in it and infection would ensue. Without treatment, they would die. But you know what the shepherd would do? He would take and he would make a healing balm. And to transfer that healing balm so it would stay and get and seep into the wound, he would mix it with olive oil. He would go out with the healing balm and in the olive oil shaken together. And he would pour it into the wound. He would rub it in with his hand. By the way, anointing means a rubbing in of oil. So it permeates. It permeates. It permeates. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that sheep, from that moment, thou anointest my head with oil. And that weak sheep, ready to die, amen, thou restoreth my soul. I'm being healed. I'm being helped. Vitality and health is coming back to me. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Sanda. Reshalababahatatai. Hallelujah. Power is useless in wounded sheep. Wounded sheep can't wield power. But sheep that have been healed. Hallelujah. Sheep that have been restored, all that power can be utilized that God has given us through the anointing. The healing, Sean, has begun. The healing has begun. The wounds, oil and wine, are being poured into those wounds right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Who God calls, He cleanses. And who He cleanses, He uses. He uses. He uses. Shandarabaroshalabakata. Selabarandarabasitia. Koloboroshalabarata. Selabariti. Kandarababahasata.
Surely I'm here today for deliverance. Look unto me, for I am the one. Say, I'm the healer. I'm the deliverer. Sheki Ula Mahanda. Uyahanda. Follow me, my children, for I'm the way.
We're here for deliverance. Father, deliver my brother from all that the enemy would hold him back with. Every chain, let it be broken in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. You never change your mind. We may change our mind, But Lord, you never change your mind. That's why you came to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yo, Lord, you know I do. He said, then go do what I called you to do. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Peter denied him 3 times, verbally, vocally, loudly. 3 times Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? The 3rd time, Peter said, Lord, I can tell you all day long, but you're looking past my words now. You're looking where I couldn't see before, but now I know you're looking. You're looking right into my heart. And I know that you know that I love you. Then Jesus said, I'm going to trust you with something that is going to take a full dedication from you, Peter. Those that need special care from shepherds. Feed my sheep is one thing. But he said, now that I have your full consecration, feed my lambs. Those young ones taking those tender steps that without the shepherd's care would surely perish. Feed them, Peter. Feed them, Peter. Feed them, Peter. Hallelujah. Shandanabasata. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a humility that is developing. Out of brokenness can come great blessing. Shandanabasolaba. And we reach out to the lambs tenderly. We're giving them truth, but there's a tenderness of love reaching them, and they feel it, they sense it, they know it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we yank them back from the precipice, they know we're not trying to break their necks. We're trying to save them from being crushed below. Hallelujah. 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 Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm so glad for the God that has yanked me back from the cliffs when I got too close to the edge. Whatever it took, Brother Taylor, sometimes there was pain and pressure, but there was love behind it all, yanking me back because God wouldn't let me go. Hallelujah. God just wouldn't let me go. Thank God for the God, Sean, that won't let us go. It helps us to hold on to Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Namasandarabasitiya. Every chain, every chain, every chain, every chain. Hallelujah. What do you need to do today? Yeah. You made a commitment to start back. You found out it's not just a simple thing, but God is going to help you every step of the way. Amen. This man wants to walk according to the Word of God. He wants the liberty to do that. And I believe with all of my heart that that's the confirmation. This is about deliverance today. The chains that have held you back, God is going to break them. He came. This is what Jesus said. He picked up the book. He began to read. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He quoted Isaiah verbatim. He said, because He sent me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the gospel to the poor. We're not talking about financially, but those who without His help have no help, no resources, bankrupt spiritually, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. And that is about slaves being set free in the year of Jubilee. That's the Bible reference for the acceptable year of the Lord. It's the year when every bond slave trying to pay off some debt, that they are set free. They are free to walk out of the prison. They're set free to walk out of the bondage and slavery to any master. They're given gifts to go and start their own life and to live it in freedom and without fear and without bondage. That is the Jesus anointing. It's here today because He's here today. In Jesus' name, this man has declared that he wants to follow Jesus. That he doesn't want his flesh to rule him and Satan to enslave him and sin to blind him and bind him. He wants to be free to worship God in the beauty of holiness. In the name of Jesus, I believe you're here to set him free to do that today. And Father, I believe you're here to give him the power to overcome, to fill him with the Holy Spirit. Cleanse him. Hallelujah. And fill him in the name of Jesus Christ and break every chain I plead the blood of Jesus over his life, mind, body, and spirit. And I put the name of Jesus between him and the enemy of his soul. And I declare him free in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. That every yoke is broken in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Son of the living God. Satan, you have no place in his life. No place in his body or his mind. Loose him and let him go. For the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God is at work. God is at work. God is at work. God is at work. It's God that worketh in you. From the inside out, God is at work in this young man's life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a new creation. Old things are passing away. He's reaching out for the new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told you somebody's going to get set free. Somebody. God is going to touch them. Somebody is going to come out of the prison house. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I praise you. I thank you. I thank you. That's it. That's it. Just let him take over. Let him have full control. Hallelujah. He'll do the work. He'll overcome through you. Hallelujah. Take him, Lord, as your own temple. Fill him as your own temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Fill him, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Clean heart. Right spirit. Hallelujah. Wash us with hyssop. We shall be clean. We shall be clean. We shall be clean. Hallelujah. Jesus, praise you. Yes, Lord. Oh, what a day this is to see young men and young women seeking the face of God. Hallelujah. 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 Being filled by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Let them be a witness, Lord, that you're greater. The greater one lives in us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Satan, you may have influence on this planet, but you have no influence in the kingdom of God. No influence in our life, in our mind, in our hearts, in our homes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we're on safe ground today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Teach me some melodious song. Sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name. I'm fixed upon
Jesus.
The name of God's redeeming love.
Jesus.
Hitherto thy love has blessed me. Thou hast drawn me to this place. And I know
Give her a Holy Ghost root canal here today. Kill that nerve and let that tooth have rest. Let her have rest. Confirm your word with signs following. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. So Lord, I'm going to boldly proclaim a healing for this tooth in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For the infection to go, the swelling to go, in the name of Jesus, for the glory, for the honor of God, our King, for his honor, for his glory. Lord, this woman will give you the praise, for it's you that does the work, and she knows that right well, in Christ's holy name. And while she's here, You said if we've committed any sin, it'll be forgiven us. You never just deal with our bodies. You never just touch us in the physical. You're a God that goes beyond our physical. You go to not just the root of this tooth, but to the root of our souls. And you say, daughter, 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 daughter of God, daughter of Abraham. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's called you to that place of cleansing. You're His, you're His. It's because you're His. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to the world. You belong to God. Hallelujah. And He's come to claim what is His today. To claim what is His. Bought with a price. You're not your own. And as we surrender ourselves to Him, He breaks every chain. He breaks every chain. He breaks every chain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He breaks every chain. Hallelujah. He said to Pharaoh, let my people go, not so they can meander around, but so they can worship me in the wilderness. Hallelujah. So they can make an altar to me and bow to me and worship me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In spirit and in truth, for the glory of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you have that song, I Surrender, from the Church of God? I surrender, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. That's what's happening here right now. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace, and thereby great good shall come to you. Hallelujah. Great good shall come to you. Great good shall come to you. Praise God. That's what God wants, is great good to come to you as we surrender before the Lord today. Hallelujah. I know it's getting late and it's been a lengthy service, but God is cleansing and calling, sanctifying. Hallelujah. Because He's going to raise an army up of people that have been set free, and He's going to send the set free people to people in bondage. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we've been there and we know what it's like, but we've tasted freedom. Bring that right up. Let's worship Him. Every heart. Every heart, every heart, every heart, every life surrendered today. Hallelujah. We surrender, we will be automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. As we surrender, that's what they were doing in the upper room. They were surrendering all to Christ. And they made room for the Holy Spirit to come and fill that life that had been emptied of self. Sin. Hallelujah. And He came to His holy place. He came to take His holy place in that place that we prepared for Him and for Him alone. God is calling young people today, and they're struggling like no generation has ever struggled with sin and Satan itself. Jesus has a strong call to young men and women to come to Him. Take His yoke upon them and learn of Him. For He's meek and lowly in spirit, that they not find rest for their restless souls. And they know the rest can only be found in Christ. And when the world beckons and said, try this, do that, we say, no, no, no. There's no rest in that. There's only rest in Him whom my soul loves. I surrender to Him. I surrender to Him. Reach your hand this way as God fills young people today. As God fills young people today. As they surrender, God fills young men and women today. Hallelujah. Who He calls, He cleanses. This is not just about being called to ministry. This is called the call to salvation as well. Whom God calls, He cleanses. And whom He cleanses, He uses. Hallelujah. 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 Son of a Messiah. Hallelujah. Jesus.
For the glory of your name.
Jesus, Jesus.
To know the last yes, of joy.
Yes, Lord.
Even sharing.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come.
And I.
I did when I left Tampa Electric, stepped out by faith, sold our property, moved into a broken down old parsonage. I said, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. Hallelujah. What a joy it was to say, Jesus, be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my life. I surrender all. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Lady, God is filling you. Hallelujah. God is filling you. Hallelujah.
All to you.
All to you.
And all that is within, I lay it all down.
Yes, Lord.
For the sake of you, my King.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God is stirring the hearts of his people. He's calling us. He is creating that appetite in our heart for holiness and through that for himself. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Someone said the greatest thing that God can do is take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make him holy. And then take that man and put him back in the midst of that unholy world and keep him holy. Can you say amen? And there's something about consecrating our life to him. Hallelujah, that allows faith to just rise up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because God becomes so real that we can trust him like we could never trust him before. Father, my sister needs you. For it's not just a want, it's a desire. Not just a desire, it is a need in her life that she can serve you and serve her family. And Lord, I take authority over the spirit of infirmity that has attacked her body, and I command it to loose her and let her go free in the name of Jesus Christ, that health and strength can come. And I pray over this household that the enemy has a place in. He's got some ground. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that there be no ground given to him in this household, that this become, amen, a household. Whereas for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That God may keep you. God may protect you. God may provide for you. God may deliver you. No matter what, stand for him. He'll say,